WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Cleanup in Gaza, where Israel says the ceasefire is back on after overnight strikes that killed dozens of people, following the IDF's claim Hamas killed one of its soldiers. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.
The Israeli government has been warning that it will hit back hard at what it sees as any violation of a ceasefire by Hamas, which for its part has accused the IDF of multiple breaches. The US has repeatedly played down concerns, but all-out hostilities could resume.
A downgraded Hurricane Melissa has made landfall in Cuba after devastating Jamaica. CBS's Jason Allen.
We tried to get to some flooded up bridges, and we couldn't get there. There's trees down across roads.
President Trump has arrived in South Korea ahead of the main event of his Asia trip.
President Xi of China is coming tomorrow here, and we're going to be, I hope, making a deal. I think we're going to have a deal. I think it'll be a good deal for both.
Mr. Trump's threatened 100% tariffs on China Saturday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Over the air and on the web, WCFW is your home for real news and great conversations for the Chippewa Valley. Learn more at WCFW.fm. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation aimed at limiting certain fee increases on the livestock industry. If passed into law, the proposed bill would limit the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's ability to implement a rule change determining fees for animal market and dealer licenses, as well as animal transport vehicle registrations. The agency has previously proposed significant fee increases, one of which would raise the cost for an animal market Class A license from $420 to over $7,400. Governor Tony Evers has announced Wisconsin will join a multi-state lawsuit seeking to force the U.S. Department of Agriculture to release contingency funding for food share benefits. Due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, SNAP programs across the country, including food share in Wisconsin, are expected to see delays with benefits for the month of November. Last week, the USDA issued a memo stating that $3 billion of that contingency funding could not be legally used to address administrative costs and benefit payments during the shutdown. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and Xcel Energy have received an award to honor their collaborative efforts over recent years. On Tuesday, the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents presented UW-Eau Claire and Xcel Energy with the Regents Business Partnership Award. Officials say their collaboration provides students with internships, career opportunities, and more. The award also recognized Xcel Energy's work on the solar array that provides clean energy at the Sonnentag, the school's new $122 million recreational facility. Barron County 4-H is advising residents that the 2025 Barron County plat book is now available for purchase. The plat book is updated yearly to include things like property boundaries and topographical maps of the county. This year's edition also includes maps of area watersheds, school districts, recreational trails, and more. Area residents can purchase the 2025 plat book at a variety of locations, including the UW-Eau Claire Barron County campus and the County Government Center. The proceeds raised support youth in Barron County 4-H. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a win at home, 121-111 over the New York Knicks. Another big night for Giannis Antetokounmpo, leading with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. NFL, the Packers and the Steelers game drew 28 million viewers, one of the highest rated games in the history of Sunday Night Football. So what did it mean for Jordan Love to have such a strong performance against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's pretty meaningful. I think that speaks also to the respect that we have for a guy like Aaron Rodgers and the guys that were here and were able to witness and see how he would perform, not only on the Sundays, but also, like, you know, in practice and all that. But yeah, Jordan's shown a ton of growth. We have a ton of confidence in him. And I thought he played a complete game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
News, weather, and sports for the Chippewa Valley right here on WCFW, streaming 24/7 online at WCFW.fm.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to around 33 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
5 o'clock, I'm joined by Rachel LaCasse Ford. She's a mom of two and a small business owner. She discusses her personal struggles to find affordable health care and what the ACA subsidies mean to her and her family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, October 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or however you got here, by podcast, or over the website, through social media, where you're actually watching, going, does that shirt fit on him? I don't know. Maybe it's a little washed out, whatever. You know, we're not really a TV show, but you can critique my wardrobe if you want. That's fine. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Is there anything... Oh, Parker won't know the answer to this question. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. You won't know the answer to this, though. Is there anything quite like that new coffee pot smell when you're having first cup of coffee? Out of a new pot that was delivered at 9 o'clock last night by Amazon.
Nice.
I gotta have my coffee pot. The one that, if you missed it 24 hours ago here, I had accidentally cracked on the countertop. And first it was a matter of finding the right coffee pot. And for that, you're looking on the descriptions and you can't get the wrong one, because if the coffee doesn't go in just right, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, okay, it could fit this brand and it could fit this model. Now, I don't know how many model numbers you think are out there for coffee makers, but
more
this particular one, it's like, well, this pot will fit, you know, these coffee maker models, and they're like 5-digit numbers, and there's like 10 of them on there. I'm like, how many different coffee makers are there? And so then I go, I turn the coffee maker, I look on the back there, and there's nothing. And I look back over at the description, and it's like, the model number is on the bottom of the coffee maker. Really? So you got to take this coffee maker, which, you know, sometimes has water in the bin, or, you know, obviously not, it's empty, but still got a little bit. Sure. You got to tip this thing and you got to look at the very bottom, and very faintly stamped into the plastic is the model number. I'm like, okay, here it is. And then up pops this thing, you know, for an additional $2.50, we'll deliver it today yet. Well, you know, before 10 p.m. I'm like, I want coffee tomorrow. Sure. And so sure enough, just before 9 o'clock, this box gets dropped on our doorstep, and it's a new coffee pot. Now you're saying, hey, for $2.50, could he have driven to Target maybe and found one? Maybe Target would have had that. Maybe they wouldn't have had it. And then I would have had to go over to Kohl's. Maybe they would have had it. Maybe they wouldn't have had it. Maybe at that point, instead of $2.50, I would have paid money for a whole new coffee maker. At that point, that would have been silly. So do I like that I gave the world's richest man an additional $2.50? I do not. Do I like the convenience of now having fresh coffee this morning? Yes, I do. So there's my moral quandary for today. How are you doing? over there. How are you feeling, by the way? You sound a little bit better.
I'm feeling okay. Better than yesterday, that's for sure. I am glad I have not broken any pots or cups or anything lately. I will say, though, Pat, and I want to make sure that you know this before I tell you, I attribute this to the fact that they were old and not to the fact that it's me. Okay?
Go on.
I tried on 4 pairs of jeans before I could find one that fit the other day. And that's not a proud point in my life.
Nope, it's not. You're not as active as you used to be.
Nope.
You know, you're sitting on your can for 3 hours to start the day here, babysitting the old guy doing his radio show, and then you're sitting there doing some, you know, commercials or whatever else they make you do there at the radio sweatshop. And next thing you know, you're like, I need a nap. You know, and then after that, it's like, well, I could go do, you know, something as basic as go for a walk, much less go to the gym. But, you know, it's been a long day of work and inertia has set in. And that, boys and girls, is why my shirt's a little oversized today. and Parker's is on his 4th pair of jeans and is contemplating those little 2-digit numbers on the back where it's got the waist size and the leg size. Yeah. And trust me, both those numbers change over time. Neither one for the better. So welcome to adulting, Mr. Olson. It's nice to have you here.
I think it's good to be here. I think
it's not. Don't trust me. No, do not recommend. No. I will say what I've said to so many other people, which is easy to say now when you're in your 60s, to say to somebody younger, especially when, you know, I stopped going to the gym a very long time ago. But now I do say to people who go, never stop. Seriously, never stop. Because once that inertia builds in, sets in, I mean, we always talk about the phrases like getting back on the wagon. You know, I got to get back on the exercise wagon or whatever the case may be. Sure. And it's hard. So if you are in a regular fitness routine right now, please do yourself a favor. No, go, you know, I can take a little break here. Yeah. Don't take the break. Keep the good habits.
I used to be good. I used to do 100 push-ups every night, Pat.
I'm sorry. 100 push-ups every night.
Mm-hmm. I used to do that.
That's excellent. I mean,
it's been a long time since that's happened, Pat.
Realistically right now, or maybe it's too early in the morning, but some point time today. But realistically, how many could you do? And you go, that's enough for now.
Continuously?
Yeah, continuously. The same way that you used to do 100, where would you have to go? That's as far as we're going this time. Where's the needle?
Maybe 15 or 20.
Oh, no.
I had a guess.
Okay.
All right. I used to be an athlete, Pat. I am no longer an athlete.
I know, and that's what everybody, and even non-athletes, were just, you realize, boy, we don't move like we used to. When I had to do physical therapist for, you know, a little shoulder issue, and at one point she's like, okay, well, now let's work on your balance, and she has me stand on one foot, and I couldn't really do it. And I thought, well, this is weird. And she's like, you know, even something as basic as that, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Sure.
And next thing you know, your balance is out of whack. So, I mean, when I was in elementary, middle school, they'd have those presidential physical fitness awards.
Oh,
I don't know
if
they still have those anymore. Yep. I used to be tops in my class for sit-ups. Sit up. Believe me. What I
sit
give
ups, not sit down. Able,
yes. What I'd give to be able to do 100 sit-ups, you know, again. So, I don't know. Are we at the threshold of something? Is this where Pat and Parker make a public pledge? That's a lot of alliteration, you know, about getting back to something. Maybe for you, it's 30 push-ups. Maybe for me, for sit-ups, it's 5, you know, I don't know. Maybe
during our breaks here, I'll start doing push-ups on the floor in the office.
No, I don't want to. I can't be that winded during the show. I can't come back from a break. And so our next guest is might have to be the thing that we do at the start of Jane's show. You know,
we
wrap up ours, and then Jane and Greg, before they start their show, they can look through the camera at us, and then they can always start their show with a laugh going, "You will not believe. I think I just saw Kreitlow vomit. I thought it was crazy." All we asked of him was six sit-ups, and up came the French toast. It was just terrible.
These two idiots are falling apart.
I know. We may be onto something here, Parker. You know what?
Maybe.
We've got a medical consultant on the show.
That's true.
I mean, we both have our, you know, a gynecologist, Dr. Lyerly, who would encourage us to do this or that. I'm sure we can get other people as well. I'm sure we can crowdsource this through the audience on what is a realistic routine we could start doing right after the show and really impress people when they go, "Wow, Pat got up to 8 sit-ups. That's amazing. Good for you, old man.
You get a gold star."
I'm excited for you, though. I think we can get you back to 100. I really do. I didn't say right away.
No.
But I bet we could.
I honestly, if I really tried, I probably could fairly quickly. Now I think about it.
If you really tried.
In other words,
you'd have to want to try.
That's the problem. And the other problem, too, is now, Pat, I'm in the point of my life now that I have to get up at 4 a.m. all the time. Yeah. I worry about tiring myself out too much at night and sleeping through and not getting to come here and
moan with you about being
out of shape.
You've got alarms. It's okay. From Leaf on YouTube, "I won't make it to the gym today. That makes it 20 years in a row." Congratulations. You can let us know your exercise routine at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. He also says, "I heard something a few days back about push-ups. I used to be able to do 100 push-ups without stopping." Again, that is super impressive.
They weren't good push-ups, but like they were push-ups.
Well, yeah. I would take that again with the little shoulder issue here thing. It's like there's things that I actually do miss the kinds of exercise I used to do. You know, that was a daily thing before going to the TV station and anchoring the news. You felt a little bit more pressure. You feel a little less pressure in radio to maintain a level of physical fitness, even though we're on camera every day. But we're happy to crowdsource advice or encouragement or anything else. Leaf goes on to say, "Did 20 the other day, but that is the same weight as it was when I was 20. So I call it a win." Okay. Well, again, we'll take any encouragement that we can get along the way. You can get in the comment sections here. You can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us or leave a voice note. And by the way, coming up, I'm not going to do it today yet. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I need one more day, but we have created new social media accounts for this fine program. Yes. Now I'm a little, we do have a Facebook page that we're on, and you can always follow me there. Just look for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Facebook, but we're also going to have something on Twitter and Blue Sky. And yes, Twitter is still a dumpster fire. It's a hellscape out there, but it's still where plenty of people go for information and news and to see little video clips from the show and things. So we're going to set that up, and I'll introduce it more formally tomorrow. Only to say this, I've had my one personal Twitter account for as long as there's been Twitter, almost been a long time. So my algorithm shows me things that I'm used to seeing. When you create a brand new account and you haven't populated it yet with likes or follows or anything like that, and you just see what is on Twitter generically, I mean, is it as bad as I thought it would be? Let me put it this way. I did not see that coming. It is a Nazi porn dumpster fire of horrible meanness and, you know, right-wing takes that are as nihilistic as they come, and that would beat down a lesser man. But I took that as fodder to say, you know what, somebody's got to get back on this platform, somebody's got to put some stuff out there that is, I don't know, fact-based and interesting to Wisconsin consumers, and maybe motivate people instead of, you know, turning off their computer and walking into the ocean and never coming back out, instead saying, I'm going right from here to the voting booth and we're going to make things a little bit better. That's what we're trying to do here on the radio. It's what we're going to try to do through Twitter and Blue Sky and on our Facebook page as well. So stay tuned. We'll be telling you much more about all of that. We'll follow more of the day's headlines coming up. We'll have today's history lesson and much more live from the lake. Beautiful Lake Wissota on a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you along. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once again, 855-75-CIVIC is how to reach us, either with phone calls or text messages or voice notes. We got a nice voice note yesterday from one of Tony's kids. We always appreciate that. And on there as well, you know, we do have to get some basics out of the way. Halloween is coming up day after tomorrow. So, again, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? Halloween is on a Friday. It's going to be really fun this time around. Well, for some people, I mean, I'm going to hand out candy and say bah humbug, but I don't know. Parker, do you have a plan for Friday? Halloween being on a Friday this year?
I don't know. I was planning on going to the producer over at John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX, Dom Lee, or as Todd Alba calls him, the Italian Stallion. I was considering going to his Halloween party, but frankly, right now, I just don't feel good. So...
Well, but that's you got 2 days to go yet. That's fine.
2 days. Well,
and I appreciate that you're willing to get on public airwaves and let the party host know that you might be blowing off his party. I mean, that's a bold move. So, all right, well, we'll see if you show up. If you do, will it be in some kind of a costume?
With me attempting to pretend that I have a beard right now, I am considering dressing as Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I can totally see that. Yes. Okay.
So, what about you? What do you got in the bank?
Like I said, handing out candy every year. I put on my baseball cap. It's black and in orange writing. It says last minute Halloween costume. It's always there. It always fits. And I'm good to go.
You know what? That's the amount of effort I would expect from you for Halloween.
And then, you know, I will take the number of trick-or-treaters. I will give them an ample handful of miniature Kit Kats because we don't get many trick-or-treaters. And the more I give them, the less that stay here and end up going and boosting my gene size to something even bigger. Yeah. But I can guarantee there will be some Kit Kats before bedtime. So I've got that going for me. So,
all right.
But we'd love to know what you guys are doing as well. So again, you can send a text message or a voicemail, or if you've already tried on your costume and you want to send us a picture, we might share it on social media as well. Still to come on the program today, we're going to be talking to State Representative Angelina Cruz in our homeroom segment. She's a member of the Assembly Education Committee. She's also written on social media about last week's committee meeting that deals with accusations of teacher misconduct and how the Department of Public Instruction handled the licensing of those teachers, or now former teachers. And there have been some Republicans, she's taken note, that did a really good job of grandstanding last week, even as they contributed to the system that led an understaffed DPI to handle complaints the way that they did. These same people who starve the education system of the funding it needs for proper staffing and safe schools. Some of the same Republicans who've even actually gone on record voting to keep the Epstein files under lock and key. So she's called out some of that, and we'll ask her about it coming up at 7:35 this morning. We'll also have Melissa Baldoff by a little bit later for our climate check. And of course, we've got to talk about Hurricane Melissa slamming through Jamaica. It's tearing up parts of Cuba right now, and our hearts are just absolutely broken about that, seeing some of the first damage video that has come in from Jamaica. And it's not going to be an easy cleanup at all. But even as all of that happens, the parent agency of the National Weather Service is reduced to relying on volunteers for observations and data because of budget cuts and the government shutdown. So we'll talk to Melissa about that. We will also talk in just a minute or two here about some election deniers or election denier supporters, I guess you could call it, who are running for office right here in Wisconsin. And of course, if you can't stick around for the whole show, you can always pod this program, head over to Spotify and follow us there, or subscribe to us on Apple. However you get your podcasts, we would love to have you along as a follower. And that way you never miss anything that we are talking about over here, which would include the way that some conservative candidates have recently been cozying up with a prominent 2020 election denier. There is an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Mary Spicuzza, Dan Bice, Molly Beck. The headline is, Wisconsin candidates Maria Lazar and Tom Tiffany face criticism after attending events with a 2020 election denier. The denier that we're talking about here is Michael Flynn, who was Donald Trump's first national security advisor, who was a speaker at the Republican Party of Brown County Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner. They've actually already named this dinner not just after Lincoln, not just Lincoln and Reagan. They've already called it the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner, in case you're wondering how other countries got to embrace dictators so quickly. There was a willing audience, trust me. Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to FBI agents in 2017. He promoted conspiracy theories. He tried to downplay Russian interference in the 2016 election. He has promoted misinformation that's embraced by QAnon. And yet, Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar attended a Republican Women of Waukesha County Defending America fundraiser on October 23rd in the Conowoc, which featured Flynn. And as far as, you know, Tiffany attending the dinner that Flynn was at, here's the thing you have to remember about Tom Tiffany. He does not deserve to be in Congress. He should have been removed, or should have had the personal honor to resign after he signed on to a lawsuit after the 2020 election put forward by the state of Texas that was not seeking just to overturn the election in general back in 2020, but specifically sought to overturn the votes in key states, including Wisconsin. Tom Tiffany signed on in support of a lawsuit filed by Texas to throw out the votes of Wisconsin voters in 2020. Tom Tiffany is as close to election denial as Derek Van Orden is to insurrection. They are right there on the grounds, and they cannot deny their role of being opposed to free and democratic elections. So this isn't the biggest news about Tom Tiffany, but for Maria Lazar, who wants to be on the Supreme Court, to have that kind of embrace of an election denier, not a good look. Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WCFW is your home for real news and great conversation in the Chippewa Valley.
Farmers are up against some critical deadlines when it comes to filing information with the federal government. But who is going to collect that information? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll take a little deeper dive on that subject next.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Jessica Sarbacher is with Lake Ridge Bank. She says one of the programs that she's monitoring closely through USDA's Farm Service Agency office, the simple crop reporting tool that is necessary for crop insurers. Sarbacher says farmers have to remember the deadline to get that report filed, November 15th.
The deadline is typically November 15th, and the crop insurance shares that deadline. Our acres are also due November 15th. So what this is going to do is there's obviously now a backlog of work for the FSA office to get through. So I find it highly unlikely that we will meet that November 15th deadline. So most likely no announcement yet, but I would guess that they're going to have some sort of an extension for that crop reporting.
Jessica Sarbacher with Lake Ridge Bank. She said one of the problems is they don't normally extend crop insurance deadlines. So she said farmers need to remember you still have to supply that information to your crop insurance provider by November 15th. We'll wait and see if the Farm Service Agency offices put out any extension. Markets are next.
Whether it's the sound of the carnival or the taste of the cotton candy or your first blue ribbon, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to offer cash prizes for your fair stories. Entries are being accepted all summer long and there is no limit, so tell us all of your stories. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished the day 2.5 cents higher at 182. 40-pound block cheese was up 2.25 at 182.25, while AA butter dropped 3.75 cents to 156.25 per pound. This morning in Chicago, right now, December corn's down a penny at 431. November soybeans are down 6.5 at 1072. July wheat currently a penny lower, 568. The November class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently down 8, 1776 a hundredweight. There's your market snapshot. I am Pam Yonke.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WCFW and on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-50s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to around 33 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more data centers want to move to Wisconsin and more Wisconsinites are concerned. We talk to Clean Wisconsin. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
On this day in 2016, Bob Dylan won an award. It wasn't a Grammy, you know, it wasn't a People's Choice Award. It was a Nobel Prize. Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize in Literature this day in 2016.
How hard do you think he had a campaign for that? Do you think he was doing a whole presidential campaign about it?
Not campaign for it. Barely showed up to acknowledge it. And in anything else afterwards, left early because that's what he does. He's enigmatic that way. This song, for example, is called Positively 4th Street. The words Positively 4th Street appear nowhere in the lyrics. And no matter how many times you ask him why it's called that, you get this. And we're all left to guess why. Why? Because that's the mystery that is Robert Zimmerman of Bemidji, Minnesota. On this day in 1998, the Space Shuttle Discovery blasted off with 77-year-old John Glenn on board, making him the oldest person to go into space. On this day in 1956, NBC decided to go with co-anchors for their nightly news report, so they teamed up Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. The Huntley-Brinkley Report dominated network news from 1956 to 1970 and had an interesting theme song written by a celebrity. Here's how the Huntley-Brinkley Report began every night. Do you think they had to pay Beethoven anything extra for the rights to that or not?
I have a feeling that was fair use.
It's probably in that whole public domain realm. Anyway, yeah, Beethoven's Ninth. Network news themes have become a lot more expensive, complex. Although they have staying power. I mean, John Williams wrote the one for NBC, and they've been using that thing for 35 years, something like that.
Can we take a moment and appreciate John Williams?
Oh, we have before. We will again. Absolutely. Yes. I've said over and over again, I could never be a songwriter because I would just drift over into something that's already been written. And yet he comes up with all these new things all the time for movies and newscasts and things like that. On this day in 2012, Hurricane Sandy, also known as Superstorm Sandy, hit the East Coast of the U.S., especially New Jersey. It killed hundreds, left $70 billion in damages and caused major power outages. And again, was a reminder, even back then, 13 years ago, the climate appears to be changing. Storms appear to be getting stronger, faster. Maybe we should stop contributing to the problem. And then look who we elected. On this day in 1966, the number one song was done by a group called Question Mark and the Mysterians.
And you'll start crying.
And it was a literal question mark. It wasn't like the words question mark and the Mysterians on the record was a question mark.
It wouldn't fit very well.
Yeah. I mean, so look, long before Prince did it with a symbol, some other guy did it with the Mysterians and their one hit wonder, 96 Tears. Actor Richard Dreyfuss is 78 years old today. There's a guy with some range, you know, from Jaws and Mr. Holland's Opus and Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Goodbye Girl. I mean, he's just been in a ton of movies. Kate Yes.
Is it bad that I'm not sure who he plays in Jaws?
No, you shouldn't. Because he hasn't done many things lately that you would know, but he was in the many of the blockbusters of the 70s and early 80s.
I know the name. I do not know that face.
So. Yeah. You know Paul Giamatti, the actor?
Possibly the name.
I think if you saw him, it's like they kind of play that same type of character. I could see Paul Giamatti doing a lot of what Richard Dreyfuss does and vice versa.
Gotcha.
Or somebody thinks I'm crazy and they'll write in and say so. Anyway, let's see. Kate Jackson, one of the original Charlie's Angels, is 76 years old today. On this day in 1969, Creedence Clearwater Revival released their third studio album. Not their third studio album overall. CCR released their third album that year. Oh. And it was a pretty good one. Willie and the Poor Boys with this hit. Down on the Corner and Fortunate Son were two of the big hits from Willie and the Poor Boys. Again, CCR's third album. It was released this day in 1969. Birthdays today include Tracy Ellis Ross, the daughter of Diana Ross. You remember her from Black-ish and Girlfriends. She is 53 years old today. And so is Gabriel Union, 53 years old today. On this day in 1973, Apple Records released John Lennon's fourth studio album, Mind Games. Let's see, Tony's noting on YouTube, CCR doing three albums in a year. That's a higher output than Dan Hagen. Yeah, but Dan Hagen has a higher output than you or me or anybody else in this room. He's put out one album. That's one more than everybody else I know. So I'm not going to diss him for that. John Lennon's Mind Game is released this day in 1973. Winona Ryder is 54 years old today. Let's see. On this day in 1982, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson did a duet that peaked at number two on the charts. Don't waste your time. Because the doggone girl is mine. So this was back when they were getting along really well, and somewhere around that time, Paul McCartney gave Michael Jackson the financial advice to buy up music rights because songs get more popular over time and it's a great investment. And Michael Jackson said, thanks, that's a great idea. And sometime later on, Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalog from underneath Paul McCartney.
Oh.
And they weren't friends for a while.
Wow. Yeah, that's a way to break up a friendship.
Well, you know, if you give somebody advice, I guess you should add some caveats. By the way, don't buy my songs,
Don't screw with me.
That's right. So that was 1982. The next year, 1983, the number one song was by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. This is a track that was originally written by the Bee Gees. Oh. Barry Gibb and his brothers, they were kind of, I'm not going to say washed up, but they couldn't get any traction because everybody saw them just as a disco group at that point. And nobody wanted to play them on the radio, but they were still able to write songs. So they just got other people to sing them like Kenny and Dolly and got a number one song out of it on this day in 1983. On this day in 2008, Delta Airlines out of Atlanta merged with Northwest Airlines out of the Twin Cities and created the world's largest airline and reduced the number of legacy carriers down to five. It's now down to four: Delta, American, United, and Alaska. There used to be so many more airlines. There used to be so much more competition. And then we heard in the late 70s, early 80s, but if we deregulate the industry, there'll be even more competition and we'll save lots of money. And other people said, no, don't deregulate the airlines. They'll just all merge with each other and pretty soon there'll just be a couple of airlines and we'll have no competition and we'll be paying through the nose and seats will be smaller and they won't serve meals anymore. And every one of those things turned out to be true. And yet we deregulated anyway. And we still have people going, hey, we should let industry police itself. That'll work out great for the consumer.
Well,
sure it will.
At least we don't have like doors flying off planes or anything. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be. No,
oh,
no.
Wait.
Yeah, never mind. Mm. Okay. You said that last weekend you watched, was it Casino Royale?
I did.
Bond film?
Yes.
Okay. And you probably will not move into the next one, Quantum of Solace?
I might. I'm not.
You might.
You know what? Since I'm sick and I'm laying around a lot, maybe.
Okay. Well, I might talk you out of it here because Quantum of Solace, the 22nd James Bond film starring Daniel Craig, was released this day in 2008. And I got to thinking, like, I don't remember if there was a song. I mean, there's a Bond song in all these where they get some, you know, contemporary singers to do something or another. And sometimes they work, like we played the Adele one from Skyfall recently. But Quantum of Solace had a song. It was done by Jack White and Alicia Keys. And give a listen. See if you remember it from 2008. A woman walking by, a drop in the water, a look in the eye, a phone on the table, a man on your side, or someone that you think that you can trust. It's just another way to die. Another way to die. It did not register on my radar, and I now I see why. It was indeed a number one hit in Finland.
Ah, there it is.
Yes, it peaked at number 9 in the UK. It was, in fact, a top 10 hit in Germany, Denmark, Austria, Belgium, Norway, Switzerland. Top 10 hit in all those countries.
Huh.
But in the U.S., this week in 2008, the movie debuted, and the song eventually debuted at number 81 on the Billboard Hot 100. And then the next week, it was gone. One week on the charts at number 81. Alicia Keys has had a lot of great hits. Jack White, obviously, as well. This one, American music consumers said, was a swing and the miss. Tony puts it very well on YouTube. Jack White is an acquired taste, very talented, but ...
Good.
Yes. That's a very good way to put it. Now, I could see, I listened through it twice just because I could not remember if I'd ever heard this song before. And I'm like, okay, I can see how it would grow on some folks, but it was just not as a Bond song, you know, from a James Bond movie. It just clearly didn't connect with a lot of folks. Let's see. What's on the national calendar? I remember yesterday, was it yesterday or Monday? I went off on you, not you personally, but it was National Dog Day. And I'm like, could you come up with something any more generic? And I just wanted to apologize because I know that sometimes I see these things and I have a tendency to overreact. What's on the national day calendar for today?
It's nice of you to say that, Pat. It is National Cat Day.
Shut up. Come on. Seriously?
It is National Cat Day. Cat Day, yes.
It's like all the cats saw that it was National Dog Day and like, I got to get in on this. You know, that's actually not how a cat talks. That's more like how a dog talks. But anyway, that's it. National Cat Day?
National Cat Day. And famously, both cats and dogs talk. Yes.
And I get that it has to be on a specific date, like October 29th, like today, but wouldn't you always put it on the weekend, specifically, say it with me, kids, Catterday? No? Nothing? Nobody? Okay. Anyway, I'll be over here if you need me while Parker tells you what else is on the national day calendar.
It's National Hermit Day. It's National Internet Day. It's World Stroke Day. And Indigenous Peoples Thanksgiving. Any other problems, Pat?
Parker's completely checked out of this now. No. I definitely feel like a hermit making little cracks like that. So that I will simply go over here by myself like a hermit and celebrate National Cat Day in my own special way. Let's see. Let's take a pause here, and then we'll talk more about entertainment news. And in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to State Representative Angelina Cruz in our homeroom segment, talking about safe schools and whether some people truly have safe schools at heart or if they're just looking to make political hay out of a recent controversy. That's all coming up on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new study from researchers in Oregon. They found women living in areas with heavy emissions from cars and trucks are more likely to develop breast cancer. The Trump administration recently rescinded EPA rules meant to reduce vehicle emissions. Wisconsin's small farming communities bracing for the end of federal food share benefits. Not only do thousands of rural residents rely on federal food assistance, about $120 million of Wisconsin's food share benefits are spent at local farmers' markets. Bragging rights for Wisconsin apples, an organic orchard in Washington County named one of the top 10 apple orchards in the country by USA Today. Peck and Bushel Fruit Company in Colgate is the largest organic apple orchard in the upper Midwest. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic is the phone number. You can also text us that way, or call us, or text us, or leave us a voice note through the Civic Media app, or throw in something in the comment sections on YouTube or Facebook. The Badger men's basketball team has their final preseason tune-up coming up tonight against UW-Platteville. Coverage will begin at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. And then, of course, the season opener is at home next Monday versus Campbell University. Campbell University, home of the...
The Fighting Camels.
The Fighting Camels. There you go. Yeah. So that's Monday when the Badger men's basketball team gets things going. Let's see. We also have Badger men's hockey tomorrow night and Saturday evening on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Listen tomorrow evening starting at 7:30 as the Badger men's hockey team takes to the ice with a record of, I believe, 4 wins, no losses, 2 ties. Don't hold me to that. Badger women's volleyball, they're ranked 12th in the country. They will host undefeated Nebraska at the Fieldhouse this Friday. I mean, normally Madison's a place you want to be for Halloween anyway. I guess it's a pretty fun place.
True.
Fun's going to be inside the Fieldhouse there on Friday night if the Badgers can be competitive against Nebraska, which is currently 20-0 versus the Badger women, who are 15-3 on the season. Or you can watch it on TV Friday night, 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock, you hand out the last of the candy at 7:55. You turn off the porch lights. and you put on some volleyball there. The Badger football team is off this weekend, mercifully. And yes, right. You might have heard Mike Clemens mention this earlier. The Sunday night football game, Packers versus Steelers, Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers, one of the highest rated Sunday night football games ever. An average 28 million people watched that game.
That's a lot of folks.
And it was worth it. And the Packers will be hosting the Carolina Panthers this coming Sunday at noon. Coverage will begin at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. What do you have for us for a little entertainment news on this Wednesday?
A little entertainment news. This is one is not very entertaining. However, it does fall in entertainment. Diddy, he will be released from jail May 8th of 2028 is the plan. After being sentenced to 50 months in jail for all of that.
For all the bad stuff. He'd been found guilty on two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. He was acquitted on the more serious charges, sex trafficking and racketeering, at a federal sex crimes trial this summer. What is especially annoying to me is that already the discussion is not really if, but when Donald Trump will pardon Diddy and just a naked display of politics. This from a guy who, by the way, I said fired because the other article I have in front of me here, you know, the guy that's tearing down the part of the White House right now without any input or permits or review or anything. There is a commission that oversees building projects in the District of Columbia. Trump just fired them all. The White House fired all six members of an independent agency that reviews construction projects in Washington, D.C., purging one of the groups that would be expected to oversee Trump's construction proposals, including a new ballroom where the East Wing used to be. A White House official who was not authorized to speak publicly to the New York Times said a new slate of members who are more aligned with Mr. Trump's policies would be appointed to the commission. Because that's what kings and dictators do. Anyway, so now we'll watch to see if he also pardons Diddy. Because that's what he can do, is just, you know, willy-nilly decide, you know, who's in prison and who's not in prison. Do you have any other entertainment notes for us today?
In Mississippi, a semi-truck hauling monkeys crashed.
Oh, the monkeys.
The monkeys possibly are infected with hepatitis C, COVID, and herpes. So,
we're now being told that they weren't. According to the latest Associated Press article, the truck was carrying rhesus monkeys, which are the most medically studied animals on the planet. They were being housed at the Tulane University National Biomedical Research Center in New Orleans. And video shows monkeys crawling through the tall grass on the side of Interstate 59. With wooden crates labeled live monkeys crumpled and strewn about. The sheriff's department initially said the monkeys were carrying diseases, including herpes, but Tulane University said in a statement the monkeys have not been exposed to any infectious agent. The sheriff's department responded by saying the driver of the truck told law enforcement the monkeys were dangerous and needed to be handled using personal protective equipment.
Regardless, the monkeys are aggressive to humans.
Yes, and rather than allow the monkey to eat your face off, the deputies did what they did, which involves, the sidearms that they might have been carrying. So, yes, yeah. all of the monkeys but one had been dispatched, shall we say.
Yes.
But I can only imagine what it would be like, and you see a truck involved in an accident. That'd be one thing. That'd be another thing to suddenly see a bunch of live monkeys running around through the tall grass. Especially if you had any inkling that they were coming from a lab someplace, which, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think they were coming from a zoo. If you saw a whole bunch of monkeys, you know,
no, this feels.
And I like what one person commented. I don't understand how they are not transported in a barrel.
Wow, monkeys in a barrel.
Just not getting the rim shots as fast as I used to. I've lost my edge. What can I say? All right, so there you go.
Terribly sorry.
Apparently not COVID, not not anything bad. And really, they're all gone or caught now. So hopefully no further damage will be done. Hopefully.
Quite the sight to see, though.
Oh, without a doubt, yes. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we're going to be talking to Ellie Bordeaux, who puts together the newsletter here at Up North News, which you can sign up for by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. And again, click subscribe at the top of the page, get Ellie's weekday newsletter, and of course, my Sunday morning politics one as well. Two more hours ahead here, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, Hurricane Melissa's moved on to Cuba. It dumped torrential rain as it made landfall as a Category 3 after pummeling Jamaica. CBS's Jason Allen.
There's no power here in Old Harbor today. Any lights that you see on, that's from generators. We know that there is flooding toward the beach. You know there is flooding that is crossing the road and blocking highways.
Israel says the ceasefire's back on in Gaza after overnight strikes. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.
The scenes across Gaza were reminiscent of the height of the war, with people describing pillars of fire and smoke rising above Gaza City.
Nevada is among states suing the Trump administration to try to stop food benefits from running out this weekend. State Attorney General Aaron Ford.
The law is clear. Congress said that SNAP must be provided to every eligible household. The Trump administration doesn't get to ignore that just because it's politically inconvenient.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.